you've got to be building like a brick wall, a fort, and each property is a brick, and some of the bricks are going to be smaller than others, and some of these multiple sources of passive income are going to be bigger than other sources.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors, find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategy. I'm Tyrone Shump, and in this episode, we talk with John Comino, owner and buyer's agent at Bridge to Bricks, who aims to help fellow property investors make the right choices in their property selection. Keep listening to find out why Comino believes property is like an escape hatch to debt problems and how his job as a chartered accountant has helped him with property investment. Comino is a Sydney-based property investor who started his own buyer's agency to help other people on their property investment journeys to build wealth over time.
And I'm the co-owner and co-founder, along with my wife, of buyer's agent called Bridge to Bricks at bridgetobricks.com.au. My story is, we're property investors. We're Sydney-based, and we've built up a pretty large property portfolio of buy, as a buy and hold strategy. We sort of got to this spot where we were. We built up quite a portfolio, and we thought we would help other people on the same sort of journey that we've been on to acquire a large sort of, we try to call it like an all-weather property portfolio that's, basic and grows and builds wealth over time. So we're trying to do that for other people through our buyer's agency.
At his previous jobs, Comino realised that the downfall of many property investors came from their poor property selection strategies. His buyer's agency thus aims to resolve such problems for their clients.
I'm actually a chartered accountant, so I've walked the well-trodden corporate path. So I was the finance director of a market research company for 10 years and did a few other things in finance. And the reason, I guess, that the buyer's agency option was most compelling to us was really that the property selection is, I think, where most people make the error. I mean, getting debt, there are lots of brokerage options out there, but property selection, I think, is where people fall down. And you find that most people buy their house, buy one investment property, and then they're out. And it's usually because of poor property selection. And so that was why being a buyer's agent was appealing to us. It really, I think that where we're quite good is that we can help you take the property portfolio to the next level where poor property selection might rule you out after only a couple of properties.
In any given day, Comino works as a buyer's agent and divides his time between researching and relationship building.
So I guess as a buyer's agent, my day is, two parts. There's the research part, and then there's the relationships part. So in the morning, I kind of wake up and I go through the emails and I call people who've made inquiries. I also fill up my calendar with, relationship building and, meeting real estate agents, meeting mortgage brokers, and meeting, high net worth individuals who want to invest in property. More people just starting out. So there's a whole relationship piece where I'm meeting people and rubbing shoulders. And I guess the other part of my day is usually in the afternoon where I'm researching property. So I'm trawling through data and realestate.com.au and finding deals, finding compelling sort of suburb stories and trying to look through infrastructure plans at the local council area level.
He enjoys his work as a buyer's agent as he feels it is similar in many aspects to his previous job as a chartered accountant.
It's a lot more fluid. Every day is a little bit different. So as a chartered accountant, there's the steward and the strategist piece, and the steward is making sure that the left-hand side balances to the right-hand side and making sure the debits equal the credits and so on. But as a chartered accountant, the strategy side is what people most prizing is sort of what we do. And that has been really useful as a buyer's agent, because the buyer's agent's looking at a portfolio and saying, what's the next right property to buy? What's the next best step? And being, you know, being an accountant coming from that corporate world where you have to do sort of 5-year plans, it's, and for property investors, they also need a 5-year plan. So, it's actually quite compatible.
Yeah.
The corporate world and the buyer's agency world.
Komuro spent most of his childhood in Eastwood, even landing his first job as a paperboy at the age of 12 around the area.
So I grew up in Eastwood, which is sort of the northwest of Sydney. And, I was the middle child of three kids. I've got two sisters, an older and a younger sister, and we grew up in Eastwood. I went to Epping Boys High School, and I had my first job at the age of 12 as a paperboy around the Curzon Hall area. If you, some of your Sydney listeners know that,
yes,
that spot.
I know that very well. I grew up around the area too.
Yeah, I had the whistle and the trolley, and that was my first job. Went to Macquarie University and I worked flipping burgers at Macquarie Centre and packing shelves at the reject shop at Macquarie Centre as well. So, always working and certainly around that area too. That was my stomping ground growing up.
Following in his father's footsteps, Komuro became a chartered accountant straight after university and simultaneously worked and travelled in the UK. His start into property investment, however, was when he first bought his property to impress a girl.
Well, I should also say my old man, my dad was a chartered accountant as well. He had a practice in the city. And I remember asking him, I said, you know, what do all of your successful clients have in common? And he would say, they're all real estate investors. And I always thought that was fascinating, and it stayed with me because my family weren't property investors. You know, they had the house and so on, but they didn't have a property story. So when I finished uni, I did my chartered exams, and then shortly after that, I went to the UK like every other Australian in their mid-20s.
Very common.
Yeah, so and there I really charged a very corporate path. I was doing IFRS accounting and all those sorts of things, but it was great. I was doing lots of travel. And when I was overseas living in London, I bought my first property in Sydney. And the reason for that was I was dating a girl who's now my wife.
As it usually happens.
Yeah, that's right. Now she's the brains and the looks in this little outfit, I should say. But when I was overseas, my then girlfriend had a little investment property in Artarmon. And I remember thinking, as this got more and more serious, so we'd been together for a couple of years, I remember thinking, man, if I want to put a ring on it, I'm going to need to bring something to the table. So I tortured my older sister back home with open for inspections on a Saturday where where I'd find these properties and I'd ask her to go and have a look at it. There weren't too many. I remember I really zeroed in on FireDoc at the time. FireDoc, for some reason, back in sort of, I think it was 2006 or 2007, just really undervalued, and I was just doing it from a keyboard in London. And so through my sister, as I guess she was acting as my buyer's agent, I purchased my first property, which was a townhouse in FireDoc.
However, the purchase cut deeply into his travel expenses and caused many complications as Komuro was abroad.
I was in London for 4 years, and I was doing corporate jobs the whole time. And I guess I was the most interesting job. I was with Sotheby's, the art auctioneers, heading up their European reporting. And, so loads of travel, and that was great. But I guess after I bought the FireDoc property, the travel sort of came to an end. I remember it really wiped me out. I had to take lender's mortgage insurance out because my deposit wasn't big enough, and I was a non-resident. So it was quite a complicated deal. But I got there, and it was completely worth it. Obviously, it sort of set us up for future purchases.
After returning to Sydney to get married and start a family, Komuro began to purchase more properties as he felt they would negate the risk of large expenses children would bring.
We came back to get married, really. I mean, we could have stayed because it was fun, but we came back to get married, and we got married in 2008. And we were sort of we had a couple of properties at that stage, but we owned them separately. So there were a couple at that stage, and then we started having kids pretty quickly, I guess. But every time we'd have a kid, we would think, geez, that's risky. We're going to need to buy a property to offset the risk of having a kid. So we would buy a property per child, not for the children, but just to offset the risk. And I remember an interview with Robert Kiyosaki and Kim Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Poor Dad guys. They're a husband and wife team, and I remember her saying that every time Robert wanted to spend money and create a liability, he'd also have to put something in the asset column. And the example she gave was, you know, Robert wanted to buy a Porsche. So I said yes to the Porsche, but I made him go and buy an investment property. That always stuck with me. So every time we did something a bit silly or a bit risky, or something a bit great, like having kids, but we would go out and buy an investment property just to hedge the decision. And that became a really foundational kind of way we would look at risk. We look at risk differently to other people, where we see property as the moat, as the protection. And I can go into, I guess, how that view formed. But yeah, so that was our initial starting place.
He also applied this perspective to the time when he started his own business prior to the buyer's agency.
But there was another story where we started a cleaning business along that journey, and starting a business is risky. So we said, well, all right, we'll start the business, but we need to buy a property to offset the risk. And so we did that as well. And that was our gig for quite a few years there.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve deep into John Commoner's property journey, where he shares more of his unique perspective of property investment as a safety net.
The reason, because they'd own businesses and so on, but the property was the escape hatch. It was the safety mechanism.
His worst investment moments.
The worst investing moment were investments we didn't make.
His aha moment during his property investment journey.
The aha moment was that it's too risky not to be invested in property, and that it's not enough just to have one.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Invest Story. Are you looking at buying property? Unsure which suburb to choose? Let me share with you an amazing tool. It's called Location Score, and it's the simplest way to decide where to buy profitable property all over Australia. Created by property experts Ben Kingsley, Bryce Holloway, and Jeremy Shepherd. You can check it out at propertyinvestory.com/location score. Also, when you buy through my affiliate link, I'll give you 1 month access to the Property Investory Club, where you can learn from the experts and be part of a private property investing community valued at $99. Visit propertyinvestory.com/location score to claim your special offer. After starting his family, Commoner jumped back into the corporate world and treated property investment as a simple side hustle to create passive income.
Property was really just a side hustle. It was just a way to get passive income and to de-risk whatever we were doing at the time. So I was the finance director of a small sort of market research agency. And I actually worked with Michael Shah, who has gone on to create a career in property as well. But we used to meet at the water cooler like every second day in the kitchen, just sort of talking about real estate. And he had a big impact on me as well, because he was someone who was, we were doing it in a really sort of passive way, but he was right at the vanguard. You know, he was really making a good go of it in a more serious way than we were. So he was also in Brisbane and we were in Sydney. So we were comparing notes, and that was a really influential time, actually. So I was completely corporate at the time, but buying on the side.
Commoner did not take property investment seriously until 2013, when he and his wife realized how much equity they had built from their successful property portfolio.
So we were all in, and then in about 2013 or 14, that's when we decided, you know, to write down the plan. So we would write down the plan and the number of properties we wanted to have by X age, and That's when we got, 2013, 2014 is when we got really serious. And part of the reason for that was that we were just sort of buying properties as a hobby. We enjoyed it, and we could see the benefits it was having. But it was only at about that time when we did a refinance. And we'd never refinanced before. We just bought properties. And the refinance, kind of, if you can imagine, we built up all this equity and this amount of money sort of pops into our account after a refinance. And this was this wow moment where we think, we can monetize this. This is not just about, some bricks, in some suburb in Sydney. It's about cash flow now. So we can monetize the equity. And I didn't really understand that until around 2013-14. And at that time, with that refinance, we went on a bit of a buying spree. And that's when we started to get serious. And that's when we started to get strategic as well. So up until then, these purchases were just transactions. We'd buy a property in Artarmon or something like that. But then after that period of time, then we started doing suburb research and looking at investment corridors of, where the demographics were, where populations were growing and where new train lines were going in. And that's when we became a bit more strategic. But it was still a side hustle at that stage.
His unique perspective on property stemmed from his wife's influence, as well as his parents' financial debts back when they owned their own business.
So my wife, Chris, was influenced by her parents who were sort of Greek immigrants, and they would always talk about property, as would my parents. But I guess one of the big moments was also when my dad, the chartered accountant, ran a business. And when his business started to unravel, they started to need to liquidate assets. And they hadn't accumulated enough property to really have a buffer. So the property was this kind of safety, escape hatch. And my parents didn't have that properly in place. And I remember thinking, if only they owned more property, that they'd be able to get through this. And the reason, because they'd owned businesses and so on, but the property was the escape hatch. It was the safety mechanism. And this sort of feeds into this idea of, de-risking ourselves with property, not from property. And that's why we decided to go into property. And I guess the other reason is, Michael Shah was really influential as well. He was doing it in a far more aggressive way than we were, and he made us realise that the property could be its own path, not just this way to park money.
For Komono, his worst investment moments have been the properties that he was not able to purchase due to missed opportunities.
I mean, property is a pretty forgiving asset class, particularly in Sydney. The worst investing moment were investments we didn't make. So around 2012, we were sort of hunting, but we were sort of Sunday drivers in terms of property investments back then. We were buying, but we weren't buying in any sort of strategic way. And I remember a lot of good properties getting away from us then, properties that would have done better than the ones that we bought. So my property blunders are, I guess, the ones that we didn't buy.
Komono sees property investment as a safety net for all investors, as it means they can make risky decisions, such as starting their own businesses.
So figuring out that it's a game of debt. The refinance taught us that, firstly, you don't need to sell the property. You can just use it like a bank, as long as you're disciplined about it, but that it's really a game of debt. It's not a game of bricks. So that was the first one. But I guess my dad's situation as well was that the aha moment was that it's too risky not to be invested in property, and that it's not enough just to have one. You've got to be building like a brick wall, a fort, and each property is a brick, and some of the bricks are going to be smaller than others, and some of these multiple sources of passive income are going to be bigger than other sources, but you need to start building up a fortress. And our fortress we decided to use was property. But I think the aha moment was recognizing the risk involved in property, or that it was too risky not to be in property. And my parents would have coasted through their issues had they been more invested. And I think that's one of the reasons we've over-invested in property, because we're trying to really build up our buffers nice and young.
For him, property has always been the best safety net due to the leverage they can provide.
Well, the reason property is the way to go is because you're essentially, what you're using is leverage and inflation and a defensive asset. I remember hearing a kind of in a podcast once and some American stockbroker saying, you know, your house isn't going up in value, your money is losing value. And I remember that having a big impact on me as well. And one of the reasons we sort of got so overinvested in property is that I realized that there was always going to be some form of currency debasement. So inflation is never going to end. So how do you play an inflation game? Well, you leverage into real estate. I mean, there are other things you can leverage into, but real estate's a really good inflation hedge. And then if you're using leverage, it becomes quite powerful. Now, if you compare that to a job or a business, there isn't that natural hedge and that natural sort of inflationary cycle that works to your advantage. And so property, in my estimation, beats those other options because of the leverage and the inflation. Now, shares are another option, but shares don't have leverage. So even if it outperforms property in terms of nominal percentages, without the leverage, it's not very exciting. So that's why property became the main game in town for us. It's not the only way to do it, though.
So, inspired by John Comino's story, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode on Property Investory Podcast, where we'll talk about Comino about his key goal behind investing in property.
We are looking for capital growth. I mean, all properties become yielding properties eventually. So we're patient and we're investing for yield, but it's not a buying criteria.
What he hopes to achieve for clients with his own buyer's agency?
You know, Bridge to Bricks is a really good sort of bread and butter type buyer's agency. It can help replicate the sort of thing that we've done.
More on his property investment strategy.
We simply buy and hold, and we've got a bunch of different, we've got houses, we've got townhouses, but there's probably a little bit of a bias to units. In terms of the strategy, I mean, we've got sort of three criteria for asset selection.
And that's next time in a future episode on Property Investory. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.